Yes, absolutely. And we welcome our first guests, Caroline and Robert, or Caroline Snowden and Robert Mayer. And Caroline is the co-founder of Three Rivers Community Choir. And Robert, you are one of the principal members. And so...
Anne Wright was scheduled to be with us. She's the director of music, but she is not well, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's so very sad.
I think we've said we wish her well.
Yeah.
But we will attempt to talk to Caroline and Robert in turn. Otherwise, it'll get fairly chaotic. If we may, we'll start with Caroline, who is choir member, chair, and co-founder of the choir.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
We're great pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Brilliant. Perhaps you could give us a little bit of background about yourself, where you were born, and family, etc.
Okay. Well, I was born in Luton Hospital. Lived in Dunstable till I was three. Then we moved to Windsor, and we stayed there until I was 14. And then moved to Winchester when I was 14, and stayed there until I left to go to university when I was 18, obviously, and went to Guildford. University of Surrey.
So going back, your parents, were they musical?
Yeah, I mean, my father was particularly musical, played the piano. Both my parents were, and continued to go to church, so there was a lot of musical influence, I suppose, through that. Both my parents are very interested in music. I guess possibly my father more so in the early days, but my mother is very keen on music as well. And I better be careful what I say, haven't I?
Well, were you in the school choir, and
do
you play any instruments?
Yes, I was in the school choir. I won a competition when I was 11.
Oh, well done.
A singing competition at school when I lived in Windsor, and started to play the oboe.
Right.
When I was about 11. Started to play the piano.
Well, why did you choose the oboe? How did that come about?
Well, I actually wanted to play the bassoon, but then everyone kept saying, but it's very, very big.
It's
very difficult to carry around.
Yes.
And then they sort of progressed me to the oboe, because it's obviously still reeded, but a bit smaller and a bit easier.
Was there
to
a particular piece of music that pushed you in that direction, or you just liked the sound of it?
I loved the tone of the oboe, and I still do. It's just such a kind of melancholy sound.
Yeah.
And that's, when we come to my piece of music, that's kind of why that piece of music resonates with me, I guess. But it was a tricky instrument, and it continues to be a tricky instrument to play, because it's a double reed and it's a very small reed. But it's a beautiful instrument, and when it's played well, and I can't profess to be playing it that well, it's fantastic.
I'm sure you underestimate yourself.
So did you have a music teacher at school who taught you the oboe, or was that outside school?
I think I started in school, but then I progressed to having tuition outside of school, and continued when we moved to Winchester. Had a private teacher as well, so carried on until I was 18. And I also had piano lessons at the school. There was a lady who came in to teach piano to the students, and I had piano lessons there, and continued with my piano lessons until I went to university. But sadly, life gets in the way, as with lots of these things, and
yes,
went to university and lots of other more interesting things going on.
Did you read music at
yes.
University?
Yeah. No, sorry.
No.
I didn't read music at the university. But
so.
I was in the choir and various other things we did. I did remember being in a performance of Porgy and Bess. My musical interest continued, but to a lesser extent, because I guess opportunities were,
yeah.
Well, particularly when I left university, opportunities became less, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you listen to music and sort of buy music?
Yes, but probably not classical.
No. What sort of thing did you like? Anything.
Oh,
so you love all music.
I was a real fan of Joni Mitchell. I loved
Joni
Mitchell.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Yeah.
But all sorts. Also, very eclectic music taste, really. We have a huge, huge collection of music at home.
Yeah.
Now digital, of course.
Yeah.
But yes, it's very correct.
Have you kept all the vinyls?
Yes.
And you have.
Yes.
Brilliant, because I threw everything away. I
yeah.
know.
And you have
yes.
children now?
Yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
Do you teach them music? Do you encourage them with music?
Well, they're grown up now.
So
you?
Did you? Sorry.
Did you? Yes, we did. But it's one of these things that's difficult, I think, for... unless they have a real passion and an interest to do it, you know, with all the cajoling in the world, it's very difficult to get children to practice. And I mean, I was equally as bad when I was a child,
yes.
You know, because there's always something more interesting to do, isn't there?
Well, particularly there's more distractions now.
Yeah,
there?
More so now.
Yeah.
So they both have a, they both love music.
Good.
But they don't, and both of them can play a bit on the piano, and I think if they put their minds to it, they could be quite proficient, but
right.
It's just, it just takes more time. And the older you get, and Holly's nearly 26 and Niall's 23, it takes longer, and because you've got work and other commitments, it's harder. I think it's easier to learn music when you're a child.
Mm.
They don't participate in your choir at all?
Holly has done, but she's now living in London, so doesn't.
Right.
But Niall's not so interested, but he was a keen drummer at one point.
Right. And you've restarted playing the oboe, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, started a few years ago.
Did that sort of come back straight away, or did it take a while to retune?
Well, I guess it's a bit like, you know, riding a bike, isn't it? You learn that you can get back on the bike, so to speak, but the finesse comes with practice and
yes.
You know, doing it more. And I think the beauty of the choir has been it's given me an opportunity to play again, really. So I'm really, really delighted with that, because I would have not done so had that not happened, I don't think, really.
And how did the choir start?
Right, okay. So Angie and I have been friends for quite a long time. We have children who both went to this the same school, Trinity School in Newbury, and both Angie and I had kind of wanted to sing again after a long time of sort of not singing in a choir. So we sang in a small choir, which was lovely, but it was a small choir and it was all ladies. And we both felt we wanted to sing in a choir that was had a mix of men and women. And so we started looking around, and to be honest, we couldn't really find something that met our requirements. Firstly, that had males and females, that was quite inexpensive to join, because some of the choirs are quite expensive. Some of the franchised organisations are quite expensive, like £10 a session.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And people get a huge amount of pleasure, so I'm not knocking them at all, because
no.
You know, people do get a huge amount of enjoyment from them. But they're quite expensive. And there are other choirs that are more highbrow, I guess, you do choral works, which really weren't that keen on that either. And there are others that require you to audition. And neither of us felt particularly confident about being auditioned, even though we are quite competent singers, but we didn't want to be auditioned. So having failed miserably at finding a choir, we thought, well, why don't we just have a go at seeing whether there's a market for setting a new one up? You know, not for profit. We weren't interested in making any money out of it. And so we set up a Facebook page and started putting feelers out to see whether people sounded interested. And we got some very positive feedback. Say, yeah, that sounds interesting.
So, sorry, you put out what sort of message did you put out?
Yeah, a Facebook book. We set up a Facebook group, invited some of our friends and people we knew to that Facebook group.
And they in turn pushed it out, did they?
Well, no, we were just asking for, are you interested in principle in joining a choir like this? We gave a description of what it would be like, and they said, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So we thought, well, okay, there seems to be an interest here. Let's give it a go. So it was in the summer of 2014, and we then started thinking about, well, we need a music director. We need somebody to run this in a musical. We can do the admin. We can do the kind of behind the scenes stuff, but we need somebody to be the musical maestro.
Yes.
And lead this choir. And we decided that we would pay.
Okay, we'll come to that in a minute, because
okay.
We were going to talk to Anne after
okay.
this piece of music, and
okay.
if we may, we'll get you to talk through a
yes,
bit of her story.
Sure.
So, and you've chosen an oboe track.
Yes.
Mr. Ennio Morricone.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Okay, so back in the 80s, my husband and I went up to London to see Crocodile Dundee, so that ages me a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I remember it well, not at all.
And, we couldn't get in. It was full. It was a really, really popular film. And so we wandered around Leicester Square seeing what else was on, and saw The Mission was on at one of the cinemas there. and thought, oh, we don't know, much about it. So we went in, and it was amazing. I'm so glad that Crocodile Dundee was full, because because it gave us an opportunity to go to that film. And the sound, even the sound test, they did sound test then, was amazing, absolutely incredible, and just blew my mind. Even before the film started, I thought, well, that's enough, you know, just to hear the sound quality. And then the music for the film was so evocative, and the film, if you've seen it, is very, very powerful and moving film with Jeremy Irons in it. And came away just loving that piece of music with the oboe. It's just so haunting and so powerful. So when I was playing, when we set the choir up in one of our very first concerts, I said to Anne, would I be able to play it at our first concert?
Oh, right.
Having bought myself another oboe, because my original one was sold, and she said, yes, that's fine. So I did. I didn't play it very well, but it was a lovely experience,
yeah.
And I've continued to play at our concerts since, so it's been a lovely way to get back into playing oboe again.
Oh, nice.
Lovely.
Okay, and it's called Gabriel's Oboe.
It certainly is. Oh, that was beautiful.
Yes, lovely.
It really was beautiful. It almost brings tears to your eyes, I'm afraid. Absolutely gorgeous. You know that too.
Yes.
Brilliant. Well, sadly, as we said, Anne Wright is not here, but you brought in a music director and for the choir. Her role, has she made a big difference to you, or was it at the very beginning that you brought her in?
Very beginning. She's been with us from the start. So we interviewed in September of 2014, and we interviewed three people.
You interviewed, how many people were there in your choir?
Zero.
Zero. So it was right at the start. Gosh.
So we planned it.
We knew what we were going to do. So we planned that we'd have our music director in place, and then we'd start the choir in November. So we interviewed, should I say, three people, and Anne at the time no, she wasn't working. She had worked at Bradfield College. She was the head of music at Bradfield College, and then recently had moved her job to a, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But she was just, we just knew she was the right person for us. She just was wonderful and continues to be wonderful. Can't speak highly enough of Anne. She is so inspirational. Incredible patience, because it's, you know, there is such a wide range of
ability
within the choir, from people who really can't sing, who can't read music, have never sung before, who
I'm putting my finger up completely,
and right the way through to people who are very competent singers like Robert here,
yes,
who sing in the Spring Festival. So there's a huge range.
Do not the people that are very, very skilled get exasperated by the people that sing blatantly out of tune?
No. No, we don't. We don't. And
are you remarkably patient people then, or nobody does? Nobody does a tut at you when you're singing badly.
It's not that sort of choir, and that's one of its charms, really. And the fact that people who can't sing are making the effort, and that in the end the sound of us all together sounds wonderful, is reason enough to put up with it, if you like.
So what's the director of rugby? Director of rugby, that's my mind.
Actually,
I've got rugby on the brain. What's the director of music? Oh dear. What's the director of music's main role?
To direct us in every respect. So,
choosing the material?
Choosing the music. So Angie is our librarian and purchaser of music. So she has we have a very wide range of music now that she keeps for us. And we have to buy a lot of copies, as you probably can imagine. It's being a choir of 90 people.
Of course, yes.
So we spend a lot of money on music, and that's where a lot of our expense comes from, because you can't photocopy music. Obviously, you have to buy the originals,
yes,
if it's copyright. And so Anne basically decides what music will suit our choir. She knows the blend of voices that we have, and she knows what types of music will fit us and what won't. So, you know, we might come up with a suggestion. He says, well, no, I'm not sure that that's quite right for you. She's got that musical ability to be able to do, and skill and expertise to be able to do that. She puts the programme together for our concerts, and we perform twice a year, once in the summer and once at Christmas. She coaches us, she teaches us, she inspires us, she nurtures us through the whole process of learning music. Is very, very regimented in a way. You have to break it down into bits, and different sections learn different bits, and you have to go through that process in order to get through to the other end, because of the mixed ability, you know, you can't just pick up a piece of music and sing it. You know, you have to go through that. And she refines it. She is constantly pushing us to be the best we possibly can.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I mean, you've been there from the beginning. You know, we have come on such a long way since we started. And every time we do a performance, we say, gosh, that was better than the last one. And people say, gosh, you're getting better every time.
But you see, Anne does this for you, but
yes,
she does other things as well.
But she has a proper job too. Yes, she works for the VCM Foundation in London. I'm sorry if I'm doing Anne any, you know, getting things wrong, but anyway, I'll do my best. And they're based up at the Gresham Centre in London, near St Paul's Cathedral. And it's based in this beautiful centre, which is an old Wren building.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
She runs the educational outreach for two professional a cappella groups. One is Watchers 8, who perform every other year in the Spring Festival in Westwoody Church, I think it is, who are marvellous, and they are just amazing musicians. There's 8 of them, bearing in mind this watch is 8, mixed men and women. And she also works with Apollo 5, who are a similar a cappella group of 5 people, doing their educational outreach. So she goes with them. I mean, they've obviously got their commercial side, and they're releasing music all over the place. They travel all over the world performing. But they also do educational outreach with children in schools, with Anne, to teach children the wonders of music and how powerful music is in bringing people together and enhancing life. I mean, it's just very life-enhancing
And does this involve old people too? Because we're learning now that music has so much to do with dementia, you know, to help dementia and that sort of thing. Does she have anything to do with that?
I don't think so, I might be wrong. So.
No, okay, fine. Sorry,
but,
I didn't.
But in terms of the demographic of our choir, I mean, we do have a slightly older
more mature.
Indeed, yes. And, you know, I think the wonderful thing about the choir has been the joy it's brought to people who have not sung before. And I always remember an elderly gentleman who came with his daughter to one of our first choir rehearsals back in November 2014, who'd recently lost his wife. And she brought him along to get him out and to do something that he'd enjoy, and he just got a huge amount of comfort from being in a community.
That's brilliant. It is the community.
What we haven't actually said is where you're based. where do people come from, and where do you practice?
Right, we practice at Winchcombe School. It's a primary school in Newbury, fairly close to the Robin Hood roundabout.
Yeah.
On a Thursday evening at 7:30. All welcome, and it's £3.50 per session, so we pay up front at the beginning of the term. We've had to put our prices up from £3 to £3.50 recently. We kept the prices at that £3 a session for 4 years, and that covers our costs of, you know, Anne. Obviously, we have an accompanist who's a professional pianist who plays with the Royal Ballet, and obviously we have to hire the hall, we have to buy music, so there are quite significant expenses. And
are people expected to come every week?
They don't want to, they don't have to. They pay up front, so if they can't make it, then that's fine, you know. And, and people don't. I mean, although we are a choir of 90, it's rarely that we'll have 90 people there.
Yes.
We probably have 65, 70 people, because there's always a few people who can't come for whatever reason. But we're looking to make 100. That's the goal.
Fantastic.
So when you have your concert... you have two concerts a year, you say. Are you usually 90 then, or
no? I'd say probably 65 to 70.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Just because the others don't feel confident enough.
Some people don't want to sing in concerts. They want to sing in a choir and have the community and the enjoyment and the pleasure. But they're a little scared about singing in front of the public. So it's their choice. But regularly, yes, anything from 60 to 70 people put their names down. It's
amazing.
Very good.
And it, all in 5 years you've done this?
4 years.
Well, four and a bit years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Our first concert was after four rehearsals.
Sorry.
At Christmas.
Well, yes, we did two pieces, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, we have come a long way since then.
Well done, you.
Yeah, very good indeed. We asked Anne to give us her choice of music when we thought she was coming on the show. Sadly, she's not, but we can play her music. It comes from Handel's Messiah. She gave us a little bit of discretion, and we opted for Every Valley Shall Be Exalted, which featured Mark Padmore, Sir Colin Davis, and the LSO. And all being well, I'll play it now. Right, that was, of course, Handel's Messiah. And that was Every Valley Shall Be Exalted. So we're now going to turn to Robert Mayer.
Absolutely, who's a choir member and in charge of publicity.
Well, not exactly in charge, but I help.
Oh, right. Oh, well, I'm sure you
we've got you down as in charge.
Yes,
you're in charge now.
Absolutely. You're a Welshman, which I always think of any Welsh person being very musical. So and actually, have you any forecast for the game for Tim for tomorrow?
It's obvious, Tim.
Okay, well, we've had rugby this afternoon.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Where were you born? Obviously, I would imagine in Wales. But could you give us some idea of your musical influences during your childhood? You went to a very musical school, I believe.
It was quite a musical school, yes. I was born in a tiny place called Llanidloes, which is right in the centre of Wales.
Oh, right.
About halfway between Aberystwyth and Shrewsbury.
Oh, right, okay.
At the source of the River Severn.
Yes.
That's what it's famous for.
Right, okay.
And it is
good fishing.
It is a tiny place. Yes, excellent fishing. My father was a fisherman. My father in particular was from a very musical family, although he himself was not an active musician.
Right.
Although occasionally an accordion would appear from the attic and he would play it.
Oh, lovely.
That's a lovely image.
Yes. My grandmother was a very good pianist. One of her sisters, I think, almost became a concert pianist. So there was some musicality in the family.
Obviously.
And I, even as a little child, loved singing. And always ended up being the one performing in school things and all the rest of it.
Lots of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Well, that came later. I was sent off to a small private school, a boarding school called Christ College in Brecon, South Wales.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was a small school, but it had quite a strong music tradition. And I turned up on day one, and on day two I was put in a room and told to sing, and I sang, and then I found myself in the chapel choir. And I stayed there for 7 years, and we sang almost every day.
Oh,
so I was a sort of chorister for the whole of my school career. And as my voice broke, I went down the voice range and settled somewhere around tenor in the end. And while I was there, was involved in the usual Gilbert and Sullivan productions and things like that. But
Did you have a favourite part? Or?
I think I was... I played, was it Mario or somebody in the Gondoliers?
Oh, right.
With my best friend as my twin brother. Yes, that was fun.
You went on to Bristol University.
Yes.
Highlights from that?
Well, musically, I immediately enrolled in the Choral Society. We did one big work every year. That was the first time I sang a huge, magnificent piece, which was the Verdi Requiem.
Oh, how lovely.
There was a chamber choir, which I occasionally sang with. And there was an operatic society that put on smaller and larger productions. And I got involved in those from time to time as well. So I continued that at university, and then after university I kept looking for choirs I could join, but my life was getting busier and busier.
The London Welsh Male Voice Choir?
Well, that came about because I spent a couple of years pre-qualification working in London, and being a Welshman and wanting to sing, I thought, why not? Because I love that sound of the massed male voice.
Yeah.
And discovered there was something called the London Welsh Male Voice Choir, and turned up and they said, come and sing with us. And had a wonderful year singing that sort of unusual but magnificent music for purely male voices. And that was a tremendous experience. And
didn't you go on a tour, did I read?
Well, yes. I found myself going on a concert tour with this choir for about a week to Berlin. It was the Welsh Male Voice Choir, and the Welsh Regiment was based in Berlin, which was still divided.
Yes.
So we went there as their guests, and we had two or three concerts booked in the city, while staying in a barracks in Berlin.
Not very comfortable, I would imagine.
Well, it's amazing. So much food and, of course, excessive quantities of alcohol.
Did it make you sing better?
No, it made us sing a lot worse.
Yes, oh, dear. Yes.
Did you sort of wear red blazers and so
we
on?
Did, yeah. That's compulsory. That was great fun. Great fun. But after that, I sort of ran out of opportunities to sing anywhere.
Real life intervened.
Yes, yeah. For about 30 or more years, and then towards retirement.
You carried on listening? Did you listen to music?
Yes, I did. But again, active involvement was far less than I would have liked it to be.
And what sort of music would you have been listening to?
I suppose I sort of pop and modern music throughout my life, but occasionally we would go to opera and concerts. But of course, you know, busy lives, growing up, pursuing careers, you can't do it all.
Yeah.
And I missed that.
So there you are in Newbury. You're living in Newbury since the 1980s, I think. And how did you hear about the Three Rivers Choir?
I heard about it entirely by chance. I don't use Facebook, so I wouldn't have heard it that way. But right. one of our neighbours, when we moved back to Newbury, said, you know, myself and my partner, they were looking for more men for the choir. And she said, why did you come and sing with the choir, not knowing whether we sang or not? And so we made a couple of inquiries and decided we'd give it a go. And one of the reasons we gave it a go is that my partner, who loves music and knows far more about many bits of music than I do, had never had any experience of singing, had never seen a sheet of music.
But really, you're talking to one here as well.
And had never sung in any choir of any sort before. And so we thought we'd go along together because it's something we could both do.
Yes.
And there'd be another bunch of people, some new people we could meet.
Yes.
A community choir, after all.
Yes.
So we turned up and we both enjoyed it for our different reasons. I'm a more experienced singer. He's never sung before, but he's very musical. And we enjoy it enormously.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
And how many people were in the choir when you joined?
Well, it was the very first session where we were just invited to turn up, and I think something like 50 people arrived on the first
evening.
Can I
just say that when...
Yeah.
Sorry, can I... Will you
continue? Yes, absolutely.
The first session that we set, because we did a lot of leafleting, we put an advert in the Newbury Weekly News, and we set up about 20 chairs thinking... We'll be really lucky to get all these filled. And we sat in this room, and then everyone started coming in. And we had to get more and more chairs out. And by the end of it, there were over 50 people in that room. And it was just extraordinary. I mean, I was really emotional. I remember sort of saying a few words to people and being quite... Oh, it was just wonderful, because I just had never... Neither Andy or I had ever imagined that it would be so popular at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's obviously grown, but it's an organic growth that's gone because people...
And Anne, the music director, was there on the very first occasion, and she got everybody to sing something, just a little song together.
I mean, it's a bit like Gareth Malone, really, in a way, that you're getting all sorts of people, all sorts of strengths, who get together and they are singing together.
Yes.
And you're doing concerts together.
Yeah. Yep.
And
that's
there's so much evidence now about the power of music for mental as well as physical health. The mindfulness is talked about all the time, and singing is a very, very mindful activity. You can't think about much else when you're learning a piece of music, because you're having to concentrate and you're having to think about it.
Yeah. Our next guest is actually represents a charity which is directed towards helping people with loneliness, and I thought something like this is the ideal.
Oh, we should put them together.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Now the age ranges of the choir, because I think that's very important for people to know.
We were talking earlier that there are examples of elderly people who found new companionship in the choir, but that's not to say that it is a choir for old people.
No,
not at all.
Thank goodness.
The age range is anywhere from 20s up to 80s. And a lot of people come straight from work. A lot of people come who are probably retired, and they come in the evening, and it's a nice evening out, and a complete mixture of people. everybody can sit wherever they like. There's no sort of rules about who you have to sit next to. In fact, we even discourage people from sitting next to their best friend all the time.
Yes, yes,
And so
mixing people, everyone, young and old.
Absolutely.
And yes. I think they've got some lovely young voices. Have you got some young boys and...
Not boys, but some youngsters.
Yes,
certainly.
Yes,
in all the vices.
Yes,
And so they can all support each other.
Yes.
How long does a typical practice session last?
Rehearsals from 7:30 till 9:15.
So in that time, how many songs would you sing?
Oh gosh, well, when we're learning, we might only cover
two or three
at the very most.
Yeah.
But each week it would be a different two or three, so gradually build a repertoire.
I'm sure people would be interested to know what sort of music you play, and I know you play a wide variety of music. Could you give me just a sort of typical two or three pieces of music you might be singing? If you went this week, what might you
We're singing Early One Morning, which is a classical folk song,
but
the arrangement is beautiful.
That's this coming week you're going to be singing that?
It depends what Anne's got on the agenda. I don't know.
It's
her decision, because we don't know. She doesn't tell us. You know,
she comes down from London every week?
No, she lives locally.
Okay, fine.
She hurries back from work.
Yes.
To us.
Trains.
So she and Angie work on what music is in the repertoire for the term, I suppose. So we have all that music kind of at the beginning, and sometimes we top it up during the term with new pieces. And then she'll decide which pieces we sing in any week. And we don't get to know that. Even I don't get to know that. So it's always a bit of a surprise. Yeah.
So we all have a folder with maybe 6 or 7 pieces of printed music in it, and it'll be something from that
current selection
being prepared for the next concert, which may be in 3 or 4 months' time.
Where can we see you perform?
You can see us perform on July the 6th at St George's Church up at Wash Common. It's our first time up there, but I know it's used quite extensively by other choirs.
July the 6th. What time of day?
7:30.
And do you need to get tickets or anything?
You will need to get tickets.
And how do you get tickets?
They will be available through our website.
Which is?
www.threeriverschoir.org.
That's a guess.
Oh God, my husband's going to kill me because I don't know the website address. But anyway, it's Three Rivers.
If you Google Three Rivers Community Choir,
you will find us.
You will find us.
So they'll be available online.
And you can hear some of your performances online.
You can hear some songs
at the same website.
Yes. Yep. Same website.
And if somebody's interested in joining,
Come along, basically on a Thursday evening, 7:30 at Winchcombe School in Newbury.
Yeah.
The first evening is a taster session, so you don't have to pay. If you like it, you can stay and join. If you don't, you don't have to. There's no commitment on that first evening at all. Everybody's welcome.
Excellent. I believe heavy negotiations been going on, and we've got two more.
I'm definitely going to give
Linda
it a try.
Are keen to give it a go. So
because singing is very good for you as well.
Absolutely.
Do you do masses of exercises beforehand? Do you have to do all your breathing exercises?
Always warm up at the beginning.
Getting in the spirit, aren't
you? Yes, absolutely. Really excited.
Really fun warm up things and brain activities to get your brain going and active, and physical things, and also voice coaching. She's really good, and I think obviously because she works a lot with children, she's learnt some of the techniques that she teaches children, actually very applicable to us.
Can I just ask one question? I'm sorry, Tim, I'm interrupting the whole time. But what is there a lower age limit? If children wanted to come, would you say no? Well, this is not for children.
14, we've said.
It's 14.
But they would have to get parental consent.
Right. Okay. Fine. Superb. No, it's just that it sounds so wonderful, and it's like us for the community.
Mm.
You're doing everything for the community, and this is what we need throughout the country.
Mm.
So
Well done. Impassioned and absolutely right too. Thank you very much indeed. Really interesting. Obviously, we're going to get more reports now over the coming week, or possibly coming weeks. And Pat will be doing a solo probably by the time we get to the summer.
No way. I can't sing to save my life, but I'm going to give it a try.
Okay.
Yes.
Robert, you chose a piece of music, Our Holy Night.
Yes, I chose this because I thought it'd be interesting for people to hear the sort of thing that we sing in the choir. And this is a very pretty piece of Christmas music. I gather when I researched it that it's a Victorian piece of music. It's not known as a carol, but most people have heard it, if only because people like Céline Dion will belt it out as a Christmas song every now and again.
Yeah.
But there are other arrangements, and this particular arrangement is a beautiful one which Anne introduced to us last year or the year before for our Christmas concert. It's just for three voices, the soprano, the alto, and the men, so baritone. It was a setting by someone called Richard Swan, who runs a sort of community choir in London, known as the London City Voices.
Yes, yeah. I've heard of them.
And it's just a very beautiful, rich sound, and it shows that quite simple music can be learned very quickly, and if all the voices soar together, the sound is magnificent.
And magnificent it is, I think. Here we go.
Thank you.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It was beautiful, lovely voices.
And Victorian. I had no idea that it was Victorian.
I wish I could sing, but I could no more sing than ride a bike.
Oh, well, now, how did you get on last week?
Yeah, I'll have a go at riding a bike, but I can't do singing as well. It was actually very good fun and very instructive.